We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are in the midst of working on the RotoViz rookie draft guide. We're starting to look at the quarterbacks. We are pumped up to talk about CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. Are they the next superstars in the National Football League? We'll find out soon on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. We took off the early days of this week because we had to, we really just couldn't pull ourselves away from working on this rookie guide, Curtis, is really what it comes down to. This year, I am in love with the format that Curtis has put together. It's been awesome getting to see some of the text I'm sending over get put onto these really cool looking pages. And this year, from some of the exercises we've been going through, I have a really good handle on this class, and I'm really excited about this class. So, Curtis, I know you're itching to tell everybody about it. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, this is one of my favorite times of the year, just kind of forgetting about the fantasy season that just happened. You know, I get to do a hard shift into full-on dynasty mode, and, man, prospect evaluation and in the process of, like, solving the puzzle, not just of the rookie class, but how do all of these new names affect the values of players in Dynasty? You know, there's like separate puzzles, and they're both just so much fun. And it's probably the most collaborative time of year as well for those of us running the site. So that's always something that I really enjoy. And yeah, man, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I'm really, really pumped about this year's Fantasy Football Rookie Draft Guide. For those of you that subscribe to our premium email, you've seen that we're teasing our pre-sale. But in case, you know, you're an avid listener, but you don't subscribe to the emails, or, you know, hey, maybe you opened it up and you just haven't gone through and executed, I want to remind you, right now you can get all three volumes. That's volume one, which is early February. This is really kind of our I would say it's the intro to the class. You know, we're going to give you some similar prospects. You're going to get like top five similar prospects to each guy. You're going to get a little bit of a statistical rundown. You're going to get a little bit of my own opinions on how these players ought to be valued. And then obviously you're going to get, you know, the rankings from me, Dave, Sean, Blair, and the rest of the team. You're going to get mock drafts for, you know, every major type of dynasty setup. There's going to be some must-know metrics in there. And, you know, along the way, we're also going to talk, you know, in future volumes, where do the rookies go in startup drafts? What information did we get from the combine, and how does that affect these profiles for the prospects? And then on April 30th, the Sunday after the NFL draft concludes, we will drop volume three. That's going to be adjusted for draft capital and landing spot. Within 24 hours, the draft ending right in time for all of those high stakes rookie drafts over on FFPC and the like. It's just, you know, it's going to be a heck of a next 90 days or so, Dave.
Yeah, we cannot wait. Definitely one of the funnest times of the year, and a major reason why We can cover fantasy football 365 days a year without any trouble. Yeah. My parents always ask me, so wait a second, you're talking on a podcast 2 to 3 days every week for an entire year. How do you have stuff to talk about? And I try to explain, it's because it never ends. There's always something new coming.
Yeah, man.
So we want to talk about quarterbacks tonight. There are two players that I think everybody listening is aware of, given the fact that they play for Alabama and Ohio State and are players that have received hype for a number of years, have been in that national conversation, were in Heisman contention, and played on some really good teams. I am going to drop a sound effect, Curtis, and then I'm going to let you pick which one of the players you want to start with.
Just putting icing on the cake of the intro here. If I sold you on the pre-sale, you got to go over to rotoviz.com, click on 2023 rookie guide at the top of the page, and go ahead and pre-order your 3-volume set. Just $20. That's the pre-sale price. Can't promise it's going to stay at that price. You want to go ahead and lock that in over the next week to 10 days before this volume drops. All right, Dave. So I would like to start with Mr. C.J. Stroud. Why? Because he's a Buckeye, baby. And that's a player that's in my backyard. And if you're going to let me pick who I want to talk about, I'm going to go with the Buckeye every time. But those of you that have been following my work, you know, for the last better part of a decade since I've been in fantasy, know, you know, I don't just write up every Buckeye in a positive light. You know, I watch more of their football than any other college football squad. And I've had plenty of guys that I've not been as high on, you know, as the fantasy community along the way. CJ Stroud does not fit that description though, Dave. And that's because CJ Stroud will be my QB1 in this class. We'll have to see how he shakes out for the rest of you. I know it's going to be pretty tight between he and Bryce Young. I would expect it would be anyway, but CJ Stroud is at the top for me. He's got a little bit more size to him than Bryce Young. You don't have to worry as much about the things that you would worry about with a player who, you know, is barely going to measure 6 foot and probably come in under 200 pounds, especially a guy that likes to be a little bit of a water spider out there on the field. I mean, Stroud 6'3", he's 215. He's big enough, room to fill out the frame a little bit more. And he's just been awesome forever. You know, he won the Elite 11, you know, for those of you that don't follow, you know, like the high school recruiting process, like you want to be an Elite 11 quarterback. Like, You make it into the Elite 11 competition, you are going to be going to a powerhouse level, Power 5 football team. You're probably going to end up as an early starter, and you're going to be on that short list of guys that gets like Heisman watch listed his first full season as a starter, etc. So this guy's just, everyone expected him to be a stud, and then over the past couple of years, like, he's become that stud. I mean, he's led the Buckeyes to be one of the most successful squads, you know, in the country over the past couple of years. Now, in 2021 is when he took over that starting role. So he's got 2 full seasons under his belt as a starter in this premier offense. First year as a starter, Dave, completed over 70% of his passes, 4,400 yards and 44 touchdowns. That's his first season, man. First season, yeah. 4,400 yards, 44 touchdowns and 72% of his passes. He had like an 11.5 average yards per attempt, and, you know, won a bunch of awards. And in the bowl game that year, Dave, he had 572 passing yards and 6 touchdowns against Utah in the Rose Bowl. He followed that up this year, Dave, with 66% completion rate, just under 3,700 yards, but again, 41 touchdowns. In his 2 seasons as a starter, you know, he threw for 85 touchdowns in the regular season and just 12 interceptions. He was a second team All-American, 3rd in the Heisman Trophy voting. And, you know, if you didn't get to watch Stroud a lot over the past couple of seasons, let's say all you saw was Ohio State versus Georgia. Okay. You would have seen exactly why, you know, I'm excited, why scouts are excited. He is a guy that is continuing to figure out how to move around in the pocket, manipulate the pocket, has great chemistry with his receivers. He's pointing them to open spots in the field. Doesn't seem to get phased too much when under pressure. He's not a guy that runs a lot, Dave. But I do think that when I look at the players who are among his box score scout sims, you can see how that would translate to still being, you know, a potential fantasy QB1 sometime in the future. So I'm going to pause there for any reaction about Stroud as a college prospect. And then let's kick this over into some talk about his sims and then maybe how we would be valuing him this early in the process.
Sure. Well, I'm just going to come up and say that I absolutely love Stroud. I am absolutely enamored with him when I go through and review the numbers. Now, the interesting thing that we have going on here is for maybe the last two or three seasons, we've had so much focus on quarterbacks that can add in that rushing production, which Stroud doesn't appear to have. But the thing is, I look at some of the things that I have found to be important for quarterbacks, like total touchdowns per game, high adjusted yards per attempt, significant yardage totals, all of these things that, you know, we would expect. But when you start to look at where he lands, especially compared to the rest of this class, across the board on those metrics, and, you know, I will have an article coming up where we break this down, he's just really impressive. I think a knock that people could have on him could be, well, dude, he's been playing with like 25 NFL wide receivers his whole career.
But
the thing is, you can tell that the accuracy is still there. The decision-making is there. You know, he's played in enough big games that you can ascertain, even if he's been helped out to some degree by those receivers, he still has the ability that's required of an NFL passer. So I am very, very impressed with Stroud. Currently, I have him as my number one player in Superflex.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to find some alignment here. Kind of summing up his accomplishments. He was the back-to-back Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. And Dave, in these following two metrics, he finishes his career in the top four all time in college football. Okay. Top four all time in total yards per play and also in passing efficiency. I mean, he's an all time great.
That total yards per play is incredible. And it's really important. We can't overlook how important it is.
Yeah. I mean, he is an all time great. Yeah. I think it's fair to call out the level of players he's playing with, but you know what? Good players go to good schools and play with other good players. You know, I mean, that's not like a secret. Okay. So let's talk about his box score scout sims. We talked a lot about the production, and you can look more at that, on your own time at rotoviz.com. Just go to our prospect box score scout tool, and you can do all kinds of exploration and have all kinds of fun, get lost in the data there. But the top five sims for CJ Stroud, assuming early round one draft capital, I mean, I don't think anybody expects CJ Stroud, even in a crazy scenario, to drop outside of the top 10. And he's probably going to be a top five, maybe even a top two pick, depending on how the trades shake out in this draft. His top five: Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, and Tua Tagovailoa. So you have five guys who all have started multiple seasons in the NFL, and really, save for Sam Darnold, all of them, you know, the other four have found fantasy success. You know, we've seen QB1 or borderline QB1 seasons from all of them. And I mean, you had Winston, even though he's inefficient, you know, just having some huge fantasy seasons. Trevor Lawrence looks like he's going to be a future star. Jared Goff now has looked very good with two different franchises. And, you know, Tua, it's just a matter of health. But he really looked like he was taking a step forward too. You know, so to have four multi-year starters amongst your top five, you know, that's a great hit rate. It speaks to the floor that a player with this type of profile will have. And I think it's pretty safe to say, you know, investing in a very early super flex rookie pick in Stroud is unlikely to end up, you know, as just a total miss. You know, I don't think you're going to whiff on this type of player when you look at, you know, who's in his top five. Because even with Darnold, you know, he didn't look good those first couple of years, but through that first season, he still maintained a lot of the dynasty value. People were still like, you know, hey, let's see what happens in year two. Sometimes you get that that chance to leap forward. So even in a worst case scenario, Stroud comes in, looks overmatched, not playing with the level of receiver that he had at OSU, that type of thing. Terrible OC, you know, whatever situation you want to concoct. You know, he's not going to lose all that value, you know, right away. So Dave, I don't think that I can put him at my number one overall in Superflex because of one of the running backs we're going to talk about. And it's not even that I don't think that Stroud will probably not be more useful over the course of his career than the running back, but it's just about, you know, what's the initial return on investment of spending a pick. And I think, you know, Bijan Robinson, there's just so much excitement about him that he's still going to be my 101, but Stroud is my 102, and he would be the top of what I'll call my tier 1B along with the other player that we're going to talk about today.
Sure. So, you know, the funny thing is, I probably will have to sit down when it comes time to do the final rankings and really think about it, because if I'm on the clock in a draft today, I feel like I can say that I have Stroud one, but I don't know if I'd really be able to pass on Robinson. Of course, you know, I have until we actually see where these players end up going to make my final decision. So I'll be looking forward to that. Let's talk about Bryce Young though.
Yeah. Let's give me a soundbite. I gotta switch gears here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, how about...
Was that... Oh, that was the explosion and then like the
That's
little...
lightning. It was lightning.
Oh, it's lightning.
It was a sound effect I made for us to do a lightning round here and there. And, you know, when we first started doing this pod together, we might have done that. And, no. You know, we don't really need the segments like, you know, constructed anymore because it's easier, I feel like, and better for us to just go.
That's right. Okay. So let's talk Bryce Young. All right. So Bryce Young, I mean, he's uber athletic. He is super shifty, super speedy. He, in comparison to Stroud, he does like to move around. He will scramble a little bit, but you know, despite all the athleticism, he actually was not a prolific rusher.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he actually only put up 185 yards and 4 touchdowns, on the ground this past season. He does not he does not look like a Konami code guy. Now, that's fine because he looks like he's an awesome quarterback and he's probably going to score plenty of fantasy points just slinging the ball around. But, you know, we have to be careful. Just because somebody's athletic doesn't mean, you know, they're going to be prolific as a runner. And, you know, I was having some back and forth with a Twitter follower last week. So I was putting a little bit of shade on Bryce Young's running production. And yeah. I made a comment about his size in the tweet, Dave. Yep. And they're like, what? But Kyler Murray is small. Okay, well, but Kyler Murray also ran for a ton of yards in college football.
I don't think it's a good comparison.
The BMIs are going to be vastly different. But, I mean, I don't have anything about Bryce Young. I'm just saying he didn't actually rush for very many fantasy points. Like, that's actual data. That's not my opinion. That's the actual data.
Guys like Joe Burrow put up a lot more ground. Like, guys that we don't think of as those running type of threats. There's a lot of these guys that play in the NFL quarterback position that put up more impressive production in college, and we don't even think about their rushing ability.
That's totally right. And, you know, if Young certainly has the athleticism to become a prolific rusher, but we haven't seen it yet. He's had plenty of opportunities to do it. You know, maybe Saban had a no-run rule on him. You know, but he also... and gets in trouble a little bit with all that athletic ability as many of the quarterbacks of this cloth do. Take some big sacks at times because he's not strong enough to get out of the grass once he's in it. Now, let's put that all aside. I just wanted to start with that because, you know, for people that were listening to me say CJ Stroud's my QB1 and were mad for that whole segment since Young is so popular, I just want to get out of the way, you know, get that out of the way, because I think a lot of people that are putting Young over Stroud are doing it on the basis that, oh, well, he's going to add all this rushing floor. Well, if he doesn't in the NFL, it'll be the first time he's done it. So let's just leave that there. Now, as a passer, I mean, Young is awesome. he's very comparable to Stroud in terms of the types of production, you know, the efficiency, the accuracy. As a sophomore, completed 67% of his passes, nearly 5,000 yards, 47 touchdowns and just 7 interceptions, and did take Alabama to the national title game that year. He won a Heisman Trophy. He won a Maxwell Award. He was a consensus All-American. I mean, basically any accolade you can dream up, Bryce Young was either a finalist or a winner of that award. And 2022, similar to Stroud, a little bit of a fall off in the production category year over year, but I mean, still, you know, really impressive. 64% of his passes were completed, about 3,300 passing yards, 32 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. And we already talked about the rushing production from this year. I mean, you know, he definitely has mastery of the offense. He's going to be a quarterback that can come in and probably learn any system you would want him to learn. It would be really fun. You know, I don't know where Sean Payton's going to land or if he's going to take a job, but when I think about Bryce Young, I think, you know, a marriage like that with a coach who is not afraid to give even the most talented of quarterbacks plenty of instruction. I mean, Breeze was very involved in the game plan, but he still took, you know, lots and lots of cues from Sean Payton. And, you know, he was also, you know, famously not a very big quarterback and still got it done, you know, put up huge, huge numbers. And I think, you know, that's within the range of outcomes for Bryce Young, is to be a really prolific passer in the NFL, despite the lack of height, despite the slight frame, and despite, you know, potentially not adding much on the ground. I still think he could be a really fun fantasy asset here, Dave. So let's talk about his box score scout sims now. We've got a little bit of overlap, actually a lot of overlap. 4 of his top 5 sims are the same as CJ Stroud's.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, some of that's a function of the draft capital, because there's only so many players that are going to go in that spot. But
yeah. Now, if we just completely remove that or put it, you know, way down, you know, it change the big swap that we make at the top, because that's really, and the order of the strength of the sim match is a little different too. So let's go back to Stroud. It was Winston, Darnold, Lawrence, Goff, Tua. With Young, Matthew Stafford is actually his closest sim, followed by Lawrence, Goff, Tua, and then Darnold. So if I was looking at those lists, I mean, I would say I probably like the trade of Winston for Stafford, and yeah. I like the stronger matches with Lawrence, Goff, and Tua versus Darnold. So, you know, I think just purely on the metrics, our box score scout sim tool at this point, you know, it probably would favor Young just a little bit in terms of the, I would say that floor is just a tiny bit higher when you get a player like Stafford instead of Winston, but it's a very similar group, obviously. And, you know, I think it's as close in our box score scout tool as it is, you know, in fantasy football rookie rankings that we're going to see all over the place. It's going to be very, very common to see these two players in either order. You know, I would, if I could, I would list them right next to each other and just give the tiebreaker to Stroud on the size, on the size. And, you know, I think I just, because of that, I think there's less ways that he could potentially flop. But Young is a fine consolation prize at 103 for me in early super flex rookie drafts. And, you know, hey, if like, I don't know, something crazy happened and, you know, he slid to 104 and I wasn't drafting in the early parts of my rookie draft, I'd be like scrambling to figure out ways to trade up and get him. I do think that he could be pretty successful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that you can't argue with there is the passing production was really, really impressive with what we saw him do at Alabama. I mean, when you're putting up 47 passing touchdowns to 7 interceptions in a season, 4,873 yards. Now, granted, that's on 15 games. It's just very impressive stuff. When I think about him and some of the concerns that people are going to have about his size, I can understand why that gets factored in, because I think the reality is a lot of NFL teams are going to worry about it. And when we're working on this process right now, we have to assume that that could lower his draft capital a little bit compared to a player like Stroud, but it's probably not that relevant. You know, we'll have to see where teams settle on that. But if I'm looking between these two players, I do give an edge to Stroud, with that being one of those ancillary components. But more importantly, when I look at the key data points that I'm focusing on and trying to mine for quarterback hits, I do think that there's a pretty significant separation in some of those stats between Stroud and Young, especially when I look at the adjusted yards per attempt, and there's a big delta in the career touchdowns per game. Both of those in favor of Stroud. So I'll have to see where things settle out, as I haven't gone through the whole process of putting it all together. But for my first kind of pass through contextualizing where I think they're going to land, I think it's possible that from a historical profile perspective, when I'm done with that exercise of looking at the things that matter, we could see Stroud kind of finishing in a different tier than Young.
Oh, yeah, that'll be, I'll look forward to that research. I know we're going to have our rookie summit here probably. That's what was exciting, Dave. It's probably in the next 7 to 10 days we're going to be doing our rookie mock draft summit and rookie rankings finalization with Blair and Sean. That's always such a fun time. We'll have to see how those guys approach these two quarterbacks too, because, you know, we all like to think our opinion and our informed opinion about the players is the most correct. But, you know, when we put our guide out, we really like to put out the consensus. You know, all four of us have, you know, slightly different approaches. And, you know, we feel like, hey, if we can get to a spot where we agree on where those tier lines should be drawn and order on the players, that's going to be better than any list that, you know, just one of us could put out on our own. So looks like Dave and I give the edge to Stroud. Can Sean and Blair push it into a tie and some heated debate when we get together here soon? That'll be interesting to see. Dave and I are going to be back talking about some more quarterbacks that next tier. I mean, these two guys were the cream of the crop this season, but there are some other quarterbacks that have some traits and some things that show up in their statistical profiles at this point that make them kind of interesting a little bit later on in rookie drafts. Come back and listen to a future episode where we'll highlight Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Tanner McKee, Bo Nix, Max Duggan, and Hendon Hooker. Lots more quarterback to talk about before we switch positions, Dave.
Yeah, it's some of these guys, it was really fun when I started looking through them, you know, some surprising numbers in there. So it's going to be fun to talk about those guys, even though there's been so much focus on, you know, perhaps the top three or four guys. But there's definitely, especially for those of you in those super flex leagues, there's still a lot that we can go through with these lower level passers. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.